Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, joined by my co-host today,
Karen.
And we are here to talk about a movie you've seen, don't ever plan on seeing, or don't care about us spoiling, because we spoil the movie. And today's movie is Bad Trip. We'll be getting to that in a second. We'll talk about what we liked about it, what we didn't like, and we'll score it from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Wait, no, we won't. That's fucking with black people. We'll score from 0 to 5.
I was like, the score went up, boy.
We'll score from 0 to 5. But yeah, and then we have a comment from one of our reviews, so we'll talk about that as well. Bad Trip. Let's get into it. This is a movie that is starring Eric Andre. It is also starring Lil Rel Howery, Tiffany Haddish, and Michaela Conlon is in here as Maria Lee. The plot is the mix of a scripted buddy comedy road movie and a real hidden camera prank show follows the outrageous misadventures of two buds stuck in a rut who embark on a cross-country road trip to New York City. The storyline sets up shocking real pranks. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about what we liked first. Karen, give me something that you liked.
It was funny. If you are a fan of the Eric Andre show, this is his bag. Like, you will really extremely enjoy this because you kind of already have an idea of where the comedy is going and how far the comedy can go and how over the top the comedy is. It was fucking hilarious, and Eric Andre stole the show because y'all was like, oh, he definitely had his hands in this, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, Eric Andre, I'm a big fan of him, just a powerhouse in my opinion. And I'm a big fan of like his comedy. I loved him in Man Seeking Woman as yes. The best friend, Mike. Of course, I love the Eric Andre show. I think it's brilliant. He's good as a voice actor and as Lucy in Disenchantment. Just a really solid, hilarious dude with his own like unique set of skills. And the thing is, when he's in movies and roles that I wouldn't call them straight roles because he's always the comic relief, but when he's in these roles where it's not specifically geared around him and it's not his vehicle, a lot of times it's funny, but it's not Eric.
Right.
They found a way for this movie for him to be Eric Andre.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a thing for me that worked, that it was just so great. The mix of real pranks with the very loose buddy comedy feel, like comedy script. It was so amazing and so meta and so brilliant because you have these people in this movie who are not in on this movie.
Mm-mm.
And when I think of it from a movie filming standpoint, the way they must have had to refilm scenes with other people in it, the way they had to get it all right at one time, because if not, then the next time the people are in on the gag, it's not as funny. Some of the things that look random have to be meticulously planned out, you know, whether it be you know, we're gonna get everyone on board a bus at a certain period of time and then I'm gonna run up and stop the bus. That has to be like perfectly planned out.
Mm-hmm. Particularly when you have people that don't know this is happening.
Yeah, yes. You know, when you have the fake cop with the cop car but there's a real cop who walks by, you know, stuff like that, where it's just like they had to be planning this shit so and make it so well done in order to make it happen. And and it just works. It's just so perfect the way that they work it out, and every gag is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted to do a point. Sorry, you kind of piggybacked on mine.
No, that was my point. The plot.
Okay.
The way they wrote it with the real pranks and the fake and the scripted stuff that's the best thing about this film to me.
Yes. And Tiffany Haddish, this was her bag too.
Yes.
You can tell that they allowed her to improv a lot, and everybody don't improv well, but she, if you say go and you just kind of give her a area, this was her bag. Like Eric Andre was in his bag, this was in her bag. I can't even imagine the cuts and outtakes they probably wouldn't able to do, or they was like, nah, we'll take this joke, won't take this joke. You can tell that she had so much fun making this movie.
Yeah, it's one of the few times where I've seen Tiffany Haddish really put in her element. And I mean, I feel like she always gives 110% no matter what the show is, right. No matter what the role is. And she's versatile. Like she'll play like a more serious role, like she does for the last OG. And then she'll play like a, you know, like she's played this kind of role before, like the loose cannon. But this is honestly the best I've seen a movie fit around her since Girls Trip for me. And I've seen some of her other movies. I don't think she's ever really bad in a movie, mm-hmm. but this was like, oh my God, they just get it.
Yes. And they get her. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to make it where it's like, okay, we understand you and we understand your comedy, because sometimes with comedians, her and I can say Eric Andre, sometimes it's like fitting a square into a circle sometimes, mm-hmm. where they have an idea, but you also have to take into consideration the comic themselves versus we got this idea and try to plug you into it.
Yeah. Another thing for me I would add as a positive is just the audience, like the people that were getting pranked,
mm-hmm.
Especially the black people, they were so good.
Yes.
Like it's like you could just rely on black people to give you really good reactions really funny gags and to be in on it. I think one of my favorite gags is the one they do at the restaurant where
yes,
Tiffany Haddish walks in and says she's looking for him, and then the Lil Rel and Eric Andre walk in, and then everybody's like, she's looking for y'all need to leave. They leave, and then Tiffany Haddish comes back. The people in that restaurant were so good. They stole the show.
Yes.
Like the black woman who was trying to save Eric Andre from being dropped off the roof.
Yes.
Just so many moments where the black dude that was like trying to keep them from arguing after the car crash,
mm-hmm.
They didn't even know they were in a movie, mm-hmm. and they were still characters, and they still were able to like harness something that was genuine and pure, but also just super entertaining. And just the genius of getting all that in the movie, and the luck, I guess, of getting it all in the movie just takes it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I actually enjoy Lorel, because the thing about Lorel is that Lorel is funny, but kind of like Tiffany and Andre, you have to put him in his element in order for him to shine. Mm-hmm. And I think they allowed him to shine. It like, mm-hmm. like he, you was like, okay, he's in on the gag. He's there. He's not phoning it in. And I was like, you know what? I actually like him in the more of a straight man role.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really good in this. I think he's one of those dudes that I make jokes about him being like, discount Kevin Hart. Like, we can't get Kevin Hart, get Lil Rel. And mm-hmm. In this case, I thought when I saw this movie and I saw the cover had Lil Rel, I was like, oh, they probably wanted Hannibal Buress to do it.
Yeah, you could,
because Hannibal is his man on Eric Andre's show. But Lil Rel was good, I think he was better than Hannibal would have been.
Yeah, he has more energy.
He just delivers a different type of vibe,
mm-hmm.
that really bounces off of Eric Andre well, and is still able to do a lot of comic relief. Not that Hannibal wouldn't have been funny at all, but Lil Rel just brought something different to this role, and I agree with you completely.
Yeah, and also, like I said, and it's not that Hannibal doesn't have energy at all, but you needed a certain type of energy, and I think from the flow of this film, his energy would have been a little different than mm-hmm. the flow of the film.
It was 90 minutes. That's another thing I like, and that's including the gag reel at the end.
Mm-hmm.
short, like in and out. I've watched it twice. I never watch anything twice these days because it's just where do you find the time,
right?
And it was so good. I watched it like yesterday or 2 days ago. I was gonna review it solo, but I really wanted Karen to see it because it was so funny, and I watched it again and I was laughing like it was the first time I watched it because it was that funny. So yeah, I love the runtime.
Yeah, and also I like the anticipation. Like for me, I had a really good time, like you said, almost like the plot, following the plot, seeing what's happening. Some things you can see, but you just don't know how it's going to be executed. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the fun, seeing how things are executed, how they work around things. Like you said, them dealing with real live people who don't know who don't know it's a gag. Mm-hmm. You know, and so for me, it was literally, which has not happened in a long time, particularly with us not being able to go to the movie theaters, things like that. This was literally laugh out loud funny, and I have not experienced that in a hot minute, where you just like, holy shit, and you just that good hearty laugh. Like I had stuff where I chuckled, and I might have stuff where I go ha ha one or two times. Mm-hmm. But this one was literally a laugh out loud all the way through. I would have loved to seen this in the movie theaters.
Yeah, it's one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would add too was I love the reaction that Maria has at the end, because they do this whole thing and it's essentially a setup for one big ridiculous thing, which is rom-coms. It's like a joke on rom-coms, and I'm gonna meet her, I'm gonna do this, and I'll get, and he gets there, the art gallery gets ruined, and then he tries to have this like romantic moment at the end to apologize, and she just starts yelling, get out.
Yeah, she's like, get the fuck out.
It was such a great gag. I loved that gag. And like I said, the movie's just so brilliant. There's so many moments where I'm like, they had to do this conversation and talk to several people until they got the perfect conversation on tape without people knowing, and then start the gag. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite ones is when he does his song, I Saw a Girl Today.
Yes! I saw a girl today. I saw a girl, no way. I saw a girl today. And her name is Maria. I saw a girl today.
He just starts doing like a full-blown musical, and no one is in on it. It goes into a food court, no one's in on it. And right when you, and for a lot of people, I kind of picked up on it right away, but for Karen and a lot of people, they didn't realize, oh, there's no script for these other people until this scene.
Yes.
In the food court where everyone's looking at him like he's out of his fucking
mind.
That's
when I was like, oh, these people really, like all jokes aside, up until that moment, I thought everybody was in on it. Like, I was like, oh, they really don't know what's happening. And because we've done like stuff with Shadow Dog and things like that, I know it was crazy to the people filming, because I guarantee you there was no music. I guarantee you he just busted out singing with no, like we're hearing the edited version, so for them they're hearing the unedited version, which is him just singing, them fucking just dancing randomly in the food court, confetti flying, everybody's looking like the fuck is happening. So like I said, we're getting the post edit version. Mm-hmm. These people are getting the raw, I saw a girl, the right. Fuck is this, and then at the
some,
music
at some point, because they have to cue all this, they have to choreograph it, they have to rehearse it,
right?
So at some point he even has backup dancers come in dressed in the same Juice outfit that he had.
That's even better, because like, they just come out of nowhere, so it's like a flash mob.
Yes, it was just it was just
in the middle of the food court.
It's just so great, man. Oh, I love this movie so much.
Yes, it was so much fun. And the one at the country bar was fucking hilarious.
He got drunk and threw up on everybody.
Yes, he had them people fucking tripping.
Yeah,
like, and the thing is, the some of the shit he was doing, I was like, oh my god, like,
yes.
like I understand the people's reactions once I was like, oh, they're not in on the gag. Because if you ever been to a bar, you know, like the bartender has like this mat that they constantly put their alcohol on, and all types of shit is in this: salt, sugar, beer, wine, all the alcohol that kind of runs off, runs into this little reservoir mat thing. He picked it up and drunk it. I was like, oh my fucking god.
Yeah, the thing for me too is as fans of the Eric Andre Show,
yeah,
it was like, I was more like, oh, I hope this isn't kind of weak. And it was like, no, they, everything they do on the Eric Andre Show plus some stuff they can't do, yeah, they went ahead and did on here. Yes. The stuff with the gorilla,
yes,
like, it's just so, it was so good and so in line with his brand, so it really delivered on all of that type of stuff. Anything else for likes before we move on?
Mm-mm.
I think we kind of covered everything. So let's get into dislikes. Was there anything you didn't like?
No, I actually enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yeah, I would say, and this isn't something I dislike, but I just want to warn people in case they are listening to this before they go watch it. It's gross.
Yeah, that
so there's
is.
Some gross out humor. If you don't like, if you don't like gross out humor, this isn't for you.
No, it's not.
I mean, like a gorilla comes on his face.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Demon, there's shit jokes.
Yeah, shit jokes. There's, their penises stuck together in a Chinese mm-hmm. finger trap. Like, stuff like that. There's some, it's not necessarily a woke program. Mm-hmm. There, that, like all these, like, wow, Eric Andre is a very, in my opinion, progressive comedian. If you're watching stand up and shit, it's super funny and, but also super thoughtful. And this movie isn't like crass. It's not purposely trying to like make fun of like mm-mm. rape or transgender people and shit. But some of that stuff is in there. If you're really sensitive to that kind of like, I don't even want to hear a joke about this, then you probably don't want to watch this show. You know,
this ain't for you.
Yeah.
And it's not really a minus, but maybe it's this just because I forgot I had wrote one negative down, and not really a big, it's almost like nitpicking. Mm-hmm. I do wish Little Rail would have gotten more into the physical gags. Like he got into the physical gags, mm-hmm. but like Eric Andre was like so over the top. I would have loved Little Rail, cause you almost needed a straight man, so I understood mm-hmm. the role he had him in, but I would have loved for him to be more over the top. I don't know
Both of them to kind of be over the top.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but mm-hmm. I would have loved for them to both be just, we out here wilding, we out here being crazy. But I understood that you kind of needed a straight man.
Yeah, that's how I took it, is they needed a straight man. So
and that's just me just nitpicking, because he was actually really good in the role.
All right, well, let's score 0 to 5. What would you give it?
Oh, this is a 5 as far as comedies. Mm-hmm. I have not seen a comedy this good, and I'm not lying, y'all, in a hot minute. It's been a long time since I've literally watched a laugh out loud comedy that was not a comedy special.
Yeah, I would give it a 5 out of 5. It was so great. I watched it twice. I can't co-sign this any more than I already have. It's a shame it didn't come out in theaters, but
yes,
you know, maybe it would have still been kind of
theaters.
I was gonna say it might have still been kind of a niche film even in theaters, but it deserves to be sat around with a bunch of people laughing at the same time.
Yeah, because you know,
it's just that type of vibe.
I would have loved to have been in there with people that are fans of Eric Andre, like, because they have a certain type of energy, and mm-hmm. and even some fans of Tiffany Haddish. For some of them people, depending on who they are, they'd be like, okay, what the hell is this?
Right.
But if you're like a fan of Eric Andre, or if you'd have came to see Lil Rel, you might have been like, what the hell is this?
Right.
But if you are like a fan of Eric Andre, this is your jam.
All right, we got one comment. It's a long one for our spoiled movie review for Zack Snyder Justice League. Mm-hmm. Sean says, I finally finished this movie. Actually, this is the first time I listened to the review before the movie because I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it. That being said, I thought that Batman was much better in the Joss version. The opening sequence and relying on a plan rather than faith really made this failed Daredevil a halfway decent Batman. In the Snyder cut, it seemed more of a glorification of irrational belief and a redemption arc because he was somehow in the wrong in Batman vs. Superman. It seemed to accentuate all the flaws in Affleck's portrayal of Batman. Also, while I agree that the shift in the Lois arc made Lois slightly stronger, it also detracted from Batman, who basically had no plans at any point during the movie. Yeah, I think the difference is, for me, I don't worship at the throne of Batman like a lot of people. Like, a lot of people love this idea of Batman as this, he can understand everything. He knows he got a plan for all the contingencies, and you know, they even write all this fiction in these books where, like, he could kill Superman, he could beat up the Green Lantern. It's just like, he, like, I prefer this more human version of him, and what I took from the theme of this movie and what I really felt like Zack Snyder accomplished was, this was a Batman who was out of his depth. This was a Batman that had never, like, he got into crime to fight like criminals that steal, rob banks and shit. He was not thinking about intergalactic shit. I think in the DC Comics and Justice League cartoons and shit, he's such a worldly, like, it's such a, like, he goes to other planets and other dimensions and he does all these things. This shit in this Batman version, all this shit was beyond him. Those dreams scared the fuck out of him. You know, he's not Tony Stark in Iron Man, where they, you know, they go to different planets and he goes through another dimension at the end, even though that gave him PTSD and stuff. This mm-hmm. this was not that for him. So for me, it didn't really bother me that this Batman wasn't a strategist, mostly because it felt like the most desperate you'll ever see Batman is when he no longer has a strategy and all he's got is, hopefully we can bring back Clark and maybe that'll fix shit, and I'm the one who fucked that up in the first place.
Right.
I think my impression from the theatrical release hasn't changed much. It was a movie made without putting the work in. One of the key reasons that Snyder versions worked better was because it came after Aquaman. If he had taken a quarter of a Cyborg film and made it a whole film released before Justice League, it would have been better. If he had released a Batman film before Batman vs. Superman, both films would have been better. If he had done a Flash movie before Justice League, it would have been better. If he had taken a quarter of a Death of Superman film and made it a whole film and released it before Justice League, it would have been better. I guess, yeah, I mean, that's sure, but I just don't know where you were going to find the time, money, and resources to do all of that. I just think that would have taken, I mean, maybe that's what people want, is the Marvel version of this where they take 12 years to build up to this. And I guess for me, I just walked in knowing that would never happen.
Mm-mm.
Snyder is the type of kid that doesn't do any work all semester, turns in C-minus level, being generous, final paper, and then complains he didn't get an A. While Joss Whedon's version wasn't as good, does anyone think Snyder could have made a theatrical release in 2017 that was as good? I don't think so, but only because I think his plan was to always make this 4-hour film, and even if I would have thought this was better, I did think it was better than Joss Whedon's by a lot. Even with that, it don't matter, because no fucking studio is gonna let you do that. To me, he's not the kid that didn't do any work. He's the kid that did so much work that got nothing to do with the assignment.
Yeah, you went off topic.
Yeah, it's like, this don't have nothing to do with what you were asked to do. We asked you to make a 2.5-hour film at best, at most. And we asked you to kind of wrap up the story and finish it. And he just was not interested in doing that. I think if I have any problem with him as a creator, it's that I can't separate what he did from the fact that only a fucking white dude gets to do something so audacious, complain about the fact that the studio was like, you can't do that, and then come back years later and they go, here's some money, you could go ahead and do what you want to do.
Nobody else will ever get to do that again.
So I mean, I'm not gonna let that change my judgment of the movie, but yeah, I mean, he clearly seems to be kind of an asshole for that, and especially for the Ray Fisher Ray shit. I came into this hoping I could add a third movie to the Zack Snyder worthy of watching movie list, 300 and Watchmen, but alas, he has shown his Wisconsin roots once more by serving up another cheesy movie that is somewhat enjoyable for a short while before your stomach starts getting queasy. I guess you got that lactose intolerance, I see, Sean. I find the movie to be flawed as well. I don't think it's like a great movie, but I think it's a much better movie than what we got from Joss. I don't add this to my roster of movies I would watch again from him, mostly just because it's so long. It's just so long.
Yeah, and people don't have time like that.
It's gratuitous. You just didn't need to have everything in there. You could have cut some shit. But yeah, so that's where I'm at with it. But I really do appreciate your comment and writing in and giving us your point of view on it. I figured that most people would still not like it, and I think there's just been too much conversation with those really bad actors on the social media for anyone that's been paying that much attention. I just can't imagine they there's a way to watch this movie in a vacuum, you know?
Right. And you know, I know for me, and maybe just me, because I kind of seen glimpses in the background when I was moving around while I was watching the movie, but I was like, I've seen the movie, I don't need to see it again. Like for me, I was like,
yeah,
I
didn't, you didn't like, you didn't watch version. It so let's just please stay out of this. Okay, this is between me and Sean. We put the four hours in, and we need our respect over here.
Well, you got,
you put in about 10 minutes, and this ain't nothing, okay, compared to what me and Sean been through. We went through the shit together, okay?
Well, y'all went through the shit. Like I said, mm-hmm. I seen it once. Once was enough.
That's you haven't seen this version. It's not the same, Karen. Okay?
Okay.
I know you want to believe that, but it's 2 hours of extra shit. It's not the same movie.
Ah, okay.
It's just, it's a better movie. I don't know that it'll make people love it or whatever, but it's not the same movie, and that is important in my opinion.
Okay.
All right, y'all, that's it for this review. Thank y'all for listening. We appreciate y'all, and we'll be back with another review soon. Until then, peace.
Peace.